398, authorize city to place in Pioneer Courthouse Square from May 1st, 2015 through March 31st, 2016, a temporary freestanding sign with countdown clock donated by Tracktown USA for the International Association of Athletics Federation World Indoor Championships, Portland 2016.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Hales. Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Fish may remember my passionate negative attitude to waiving the sign code for the Rose on the Rose Festival building in Waterfront Park. However, this is a temporary sign, which I am very proud to be bringing to you to get authorization to place this sign in Pioneer Courthouse Square, which, as we know, is a Portland Parks and Recreation Park and has been for the last 30 years. Portland was awarded the 2016 World Indoor Championships for the International Association of American, what does IAAF stand for?
International Athletic, sorry, I'm going to lose one. Amateur Athletic
We're going
Foundation.
To have experts who will tell us that later. Yes. I apologize,
amateur,
though, because I really try to not use acronyms. And that's coming next year. And so Director Paul Scarlett is going to start us off with the details of this ordinance and then introduce our panel of speakers.
Okay. I'll try to find my talking points here. Don't want to use the wrong acronyms either. Okay, Paul Scarlett, Director for Bureau of Development Services. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. It is also a pleasure for me to introduce this item. As Commissioner Fritz has already stated, this is an exceptional opportunity for Portland, the sports community, and the public at large. This has been a collaborative effort with Commissioner Fritz, Mayor Hales' office, and consultant Doug Oblitz and Tracktown USA President Vin Lanana, and they'll be up to provide more information. The reason for the ordinance is due to the many technical challenges embedded in the city's sign and zoning codes for installation of this temporary countdown clock. The open space zoning of the Pioneer Square has specific restrictions regarding digital signage, the countdown clock portion of the sign, the total sign area, and the height of the sign, as well as the requirements to be processed through a land use process. Excuse me. Doesn't help to not have all my pieces. Okay, excuse me. So given the temporary nature of the sign, I support the proposal to construct this highly visible countdown clock to be located in a square where many civic engagements occur. The clock will be promoting a worldwide recognized track and field event hosted by the City of Portland in less than a year, and it is in the public interest, I believe, to waive the application of the identified sign code and design review requirements in this particular situation. On a personal note, before I move on, I do want to share that in addition to my dedicated public servant involvement, track and field is another one of my passion, both in Iran and in college. I'm currently a coach, and express my appreciation for Commissioner Fritz's support to allow me to do that. Commissioner Hill, or Mayor Hales, excuse me, you did that as well when you had the Bureau, and Commissioner Saltzman. And so over the years, I've been a sprint coach at first at St. Mary's, and now currently at Central Catholic. So I'm trying to contain my excitement. I'm very excited about this event coming to Portland. And so, of course, just want to share that as well on a personal side. So I will now turn it over to Tim Herron, senior planner who has been working closely with Doug Oblitz to describe the regulatory process that got us here. Thank you.
Paul's personal comment reminded me of my dad, who, of course, then reminded me that it's the International Amateur Athletics Federation. My dad was also a runner. So,
oh, wonderful.
Personal attachment that I have to this particular project.
Thank you. Tim Herron, Bureau of Development Services. I think Paul almost jumped out of the blocks a little too early.
I can still hang for a little bit.
Tracktown USA is led by President Vin Lanana, and by lead consultants Doug Oblitz of Shields, Oblitz Johnson, issued a request for proposals of 34 local firms for the freestanding sign to be designed, fabricated, and installed using, as mentioned, local and creative fabrication talent. The final design, which we'll explain further today, is proposed to be in the square. It's the heart of downtown Portland. It's our living room, as you all know, and probably the most suitable location in the city of Portland for this world-class event. The countdown clock in Pioneer Square will call attention to the upcoming world-class track and field event. We expect thousands of people to participate and attend this event. And it is certainly an appropriate location given the civic nature and mission of Pioneer Courthouse Square. So without further delay, I would invite Vin and Doug to tell us about the event, its history, and the sign.
Thank you both. Come on up, please. Mr. Mihalik with you if you'd like. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much.
Let me first of all introduce our people who are with us here today, and we appreciate the time that you'll hear and you have dedicated to us. On my left is Drew Mihalik of the Oregon Sports Authority. To my right is Doug Oblitz. We additionally have other members of our team that are seated behind me. Sasha Spencer Atwood. She's an Oregonian, and actually she's the one who probably knows the most about this because she actually competed in these events. Nick Thomas is here from Downstream, who helped design, actually did design it, and Joe Khalil from the Etzel Agency, which will help us with the activation of Pioneer Square. We appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about the event, the IAAF World Indoor Track and Field Championships, which will be held in Portland March 17th through the 20th in 2016. In addition to that event, Portland has also been awarded the week before it, the 11th and 12th, the U.S. National Championships, which will be the place that the number one team in the world will have their chance to select their team to compete in the World Championships 1 week later. The magnitude of Portland's hosting of the World Indoor Track and Field Championships in 2016 was really turned upside down this last week in Beijing when the state of Oregon was awarded for the first time ever in the United States the 2021 World Championships.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And as a result, Portland, Oregon, the entire state of Oregon will be on the world stage. Now, that's a really positive thing. And the thing that I want to talk about is we kind of double down on our bet because the world will be watching us as we host the athletes of the world, the best athletes in this great city, in March of 2016. Before we go too far about talking about 21 or some of the other things, I'd like to give the commissioners and the mayor a little sense of what the last World Championships looked like in Poland. On a personal note, I've been a big fan of indoor track and field for a long time. Having grown up in the East Coast, there were about 15 to 17 of these meets that took place throughout the country. Every major city had an indoor track meet, including Portland, at Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Madison Square Garden hosted 15,000 each year, and it was a phenomenal heyday for the sport of track and field. So we began to push for what would be the best international competition for the state of Oregon to host, because track and field is in the DNA of this state. We decided that the World Indoor Championships could be a great place. But with no indoor tracks anywhere on the West Coast, we had a challenge. We partnered with the USA Track and Field, which is the governing body for the sport, and we thought about what would be the great space to be able to host this great world-class meet. And we settled on the Oregon Convention Center because it provided a blank canvas for us to really build something special. As you've seen on that video that we showed you, we'll do it even better here in Portland. There's plenty of room for a state-of-the-art indoor track stadium and all the necessary amenities that we will need to host this event. We want to put thousands of fans on top of the action in a comfortable environment. So it all began with a visit to the mayor's office. And Mayor Charlie Hales and his staff immediately embraced the idea of putting together a bid to host the World Indoor Championships, and we're on our way. The mayor was instrumental in building a strong coalition of public and private support. We went on to Monaco, and we won the bid against Birmingham, England, which Birmingham had hosted, a very successful one, but we won the vote because people are anxious and they have an appetite for coming to the United States, and they were excited about what we talked about in terms of Portland. As a matter of fact, 27 members of 27 voted unanimously in November of 2013 to send the World Championships to Portland. We all agreed the beautiful, vibrant city, Oregon is a state that loves sport, and our citizens will provide a warm and welcoming spirit to the entire world. So we presented it, we won it, and we decided that we were going to make it the best ever. So we engaged upon several pillars, and two aspects that we believe will be really key will be the innovative approach that we'll take by building this brand new 200-meter track and building a state-of-the-art seating in the convention center for 7,400 people. We decided we would take a new innovative approach, and we'd take an event, the pole vault, which the United States, I think that I mentioned that the United States is the number one team in the world. We also have the number one pole vaulters, and we decided that we would take those pole vaulters on the world scale, and we would actually have them interact with the youth of the entire city of Portland, the state of Oregon, and the Northwest. So we will, in the Moda Center, host the pole vault on the 17th, and it will be preceded by an entire youth engagement where the best pole vaulters in the world will interact with kids right after their event, and they will compete before and after. We also decided, with 7,400 seats and the popularity of this event, that we would create a free public activation in Pioneer Square. Youth activities, opportunities to engage with the athletes, the medal ceremonies, which would be the first time the medal ceremonies, just as they do at the Olympic Games, where the athletes will be recognized and the national anthems will play. It'll be a large screen video board. We'll have entertainment. There'll be an opportunity for the public to connect to the event, even if they're not able to actually have access to the convention center. But the event in the Moda Center, the vault, will be a free event to the public. We want to show you a little bit, before I ask Doug to kind of hit some of the youth initiatives, I'd like to ask Joe Khalil from the Etzel Agency to give you an idea of what Pioneer Square will actually look like.
Thank you. I'll let you start. All right. Thank you.
Good morning.
For those of you who've had the luxury and pleasure of going down to Eugene for the Olympic trials over the last two trials in 8 and 12, we'll realize that the same innovation that's being deployed now was deployed then. For the first time ever, a fan experience was created that was free to the public, and it created such a buzz and excitement in that city that I know Portland's going to embrace this in the same manner. So we'll take a quick look at a flyover of what our graphics folks have created. All right.
So good, we needed to see it a couple times. It's got a good scene.
We wanted to hear that music as well. Who's got another game?
There we go.
Okay, so this is a flyover dropping down into the heart of the city, as you all know. So coming from north to south, you can see what would be a replica track, a scaled replica track of what would be inside the convention center. So the public would see this, whether or not they are ticket holders. A large stage for entertainment and potentially viewing of some of those activations. As we sweep down the street, you'll see this clock that will be discussed momentarily in its placement as is proposed. So here we come up on it amidst the flag, the grove of flags representing the international competition. And so as we sweep across the center of the bowl, you can see that there's a high jump with the added element of creating the towers from the convention center as its bracings and some of the things that would direct the local audience that stumbles into the square as opposed to those who know about the event to give an indication that this amazing event is happening just a short distance away at the convention center. You can see as we sweep up that there's a gold and silver and bronze taking advantage of the existing architecture there where the medals will be awarded. And you can see a big grove of flags up on the entry level. There's, as has been used before, great elevated VIP experience up above. But in a sense, we just wanted to give you a look at what we're designing today with the hope that we can create this for the public come March of 2016 and what we know will be a very memorable experience for our citizens.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Now I'm going to ask Doug Oblis to come up and speak a little bit about one of the most important pillars of our organization, that is youth.
Members of the council, Doug Oblitz with Shields Oblitz Johnson. One of my many hats here is to help Tracktown USA develop and implement the youth engagement program, which is a very, very important part of this event. It's, as Vin mentioned, one of the pillars of the event, and we're setting out to engage and inspire a new generation of fans and athletes. This event provides the opportunity to inspire youth and to promote healthy lifestyles by showing the benefits of teamwork, passion, and excellence at the world level. We're going to stage a series of middle school and high school events in and around both of these championships. Middle schoolers will get a chance to run on the track at the convention center, and we're going to embed a number of relay races within the world championship program for high schoolers from around the state, small schools and large schools alike. The Vin also mentioned the high school pole vault event at the Moda Center. We'll have youth activities built into Pioneer Square. We're also going to be reaching out to underserved populations, particularly on Portland's east side, give them a chance to interact with track and field stars that will be coming to Portland for this event. And we're also going to make sure that youth with limited financial means can attend the events at the convention center. So with that, I want to just hand it off to Drew for a couple of quick comments from the Sports Authority.
Mayor Hales and fellow commissioners, the Oregon Sports Authority is a key partner with Tracktown USA for Portland 2016. As you've heard, this event's going to have a very large footprint at the Oregon Convention Center, the Moda Center, and Pioneer Square. We are engaged with Tracktown USA to implement the extensive youth engagement effort that will give middle schoolers and other high schoolers from around Portland and the state to be an integral part of this event. As you know, prior to this event, immediately prior to it, will be the U.S. Indoor Track and Field Championships, which means that for a 10-day period, Portland will be center stage in track and field for the entire globe. It's a real big deal. Our organization is just finishing up a third-party review of the financial impacts of this event, and I believe you have a handout that shows that the impact will exceed $24 million. And we've been involved with a lot of events. None of them matches up to the level of the economic impact of what we're about to see in January of 2016. It's going to be 20,000 hotel room nights, 200 countries represented, 140 million viewers worldwide. It's just going to be outstanding for the city of Portland, and our organization is proud to be a small part of it. And now I'd like to hand it over to Sasha, Spencer Atwood, who herself was an elite track and field 400-meter champion, and she's going to talk to you next.
Thank you for having us here today. As you all know, Oregon has an incredible legacy related to track and field. We think of names like Steve Prefontaine and the Bills, as we affectionately refer to them, Bill Bowerman, Bill Dellinger, and Bill Hayward, and honestly, Vin Lenana will come to be mentioned among those iconic coaches from Oregon as well. There are athletes like Mack Wilkins and Galen Rupp and Ashton Eaton, who we're fortunate enough to have produced ourselves. And then you have some of the real stars of the sport who have chosen to call Portland their home because of the resources that we have to offer, the tremendous knowledge that we have, and the support of the community that surrounds them. For generations, Hayward Field in Eugene has been really the Wrigley Field or Fenway Park of the sport in the United States. And in 2016, we have a particularly impressive slate of events going on down in Eugene. The Prefontaine Classic, which is an annual event, the NCAA Championships, which Vin has worked very hard to place in Oregon and through 2021 as part of hopefully a more long-term plan. And, of course, the United States Olympic trials. But really, the way we talk about it is that the road to Rio begins here in Portland with the World Indoor Championships. As someone who spent majority of my professional career as an athlete traveling to these events around the world, winning this bid was very personal to me. Through my work with Tracktown USA, I have the opportunity to serve the sport that has meant so much to me. I started out at Benson High School with the Northeast Community Tracksters, and then I went to North Salem High School. My mother worked in the legislature for then Judy Bauman. So we moved down there, and then I went on to Georgetown University, and I chose Georgetown in large part because of an opportunity I had to travel there as a sophomore in high school representing Oregon and Oregon high schools and the excellence that we represent. I've been on a world championships team, as Vin and Drew mentioned, and I can tell you that traveling around the world to different places, my impression of the cities and often the entire countries has really been colored by my experience at these track meets, both big and small. We know how to put on a track meet. You know, there's an oval and there's some stands and there's people, hopefully. But what really makes the experience of a track and field athlete and a visitor to these places are the things that go on outside of the competition. It's the Oregonians that they'll have a chance to interact with, the shops and the restaurants that they'll visit, and our community welcoming this countdown clock into really what is the heart of our city will go a long way to show them our enthusiastic hospitality. I hope that as these initiatives and requests come across your desk, you'll see more than just proposals. I hope you'll see athletes like me, little girls who started out visiting the Moda Center or the Oregon Convention Center, seeing the stars of their dreams, thousands of people who are global citizens who will leave here and travel throughout the world and tell other global citizens about the places they've been and speak as fondly about Portland and the time they have here as I still speak about places I had the opportunity to visit. I'm excited about this for personal reasons. I'm excited to invite my colleagues and my friends to my city and my state, and for most of them, it will be perhaps the only time they have a chance to visit the United States. I want to send them home to their respective countries and communities talking about Portland the way that I talk about the places I've visited and reflecting on the experience that the sport has given me.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Mayor, I have just one question for this panel, and that is, what world, for those of us who don't know the sport as well as you do, what world records might fall at this event?
Well, I'm hesitant to make predictions, but I would say that we have a good chance of Ashton Eaton, who is from Oregon, went to the University of Oregon, who currently holds the world record in the heptathlon, and he and his wife, Breanne Tyson, competing for different countries, but married, and the University of Oregon is going to recruit their firstborn. But I would say that, but I will say that.
Football or track.
Track, for sure. And I think that, I think that's certainly a good possibility. The good possibility that the pole vault could potentially be a world record on both the men's and the women's side.
Is that because we'll have the very best of the best?
We'll have the best and the best. And that's an opportunity. That pole vault is a great opportunity because in the Motive Center, high school kids will see that, see their role models, see them as what, as Sasha referenced, their opportunity to be inspired and to conceive their dreams. It's a pretty exciting opportunity. So certainly a handful of them.
Great. Other questions?
So before we close on this, I mean, I think that the piece that we came here to talk to you about today was the clock. And this is a great opportunity for Portland to really embrace this event. Other cities that have hosted this event, Budapest, Sevilla, Barcelona, Lisbon, Moscow, Doha. So it's incumbent upon Portland to knock it out of the park. And our guy who will take us up to bat is Doug Oblitz, who will talk about the clock.
Sasha's a pretty tough act to follow here. Real quickly, we just want to give you a little background on the clock. The use of countdown clocks is a pretty typical device that's used around the world for Olympic Games and competitions of this sort. But we set out to do something different, to make it uniquely Portland, uniquely Oregon, and something that would perhaps break the mold. We went out into our creative community, which is considerable here in Portland, and laid out some objectives, particularly the idea of having a fully functioning timepiece that would be a signature element and that needed to operate for 300 days prior to the event, call attention to the event, but also be an intriguing landmark within the downtown environment both day and night. We also designed the clock so it could be used in the future for future events and not just be a one-shot element. We went out into the creative community. 34 firms initially expressed interest. We received six detailed proposals and eventually decided upon Downstream as our vendor for this. And Nick Thomas from Downstream is here if there are any specific questions. This really will be an exciting element in downtown. What we're particularly excited about, and I have to compliment Commissioner Fritz and Paul and Tim for pushing us in the right direction here. There is a possibility that an element like this can end up being like a NASCAR car full of logos. This one will not. The City of Portland will be the key sponsor of this clock, and in fact the only sponsor on the clock. And I think as you'll see these images, you'll see that Portland is going to be pretty much the feature of the clock, and a social media boon will follow. So I'm going to ask Tim to kind of, with my help, we'll show some images and give you a sense for how this works.
So Tim Herron, so my role is really more the technical code analyst guy, and basically work through the ordinance very closely with the city attorneys and with the team, articulating exactly where and how the signage on the sign would be applied. The ordinance walks through that. The city will have ownership of the sign. It is a temporary sign. The changing image portions of the sign is strictly limited. And with that, the ordinance came into play because of the changing image, particularly. It's prohibited in open space zones. So the ordinance allows us to waive Title 32. The timing of the event and the other limitations for signage in open space zones, including height, total sign area, or also limiting factors. So combined with that, we also waived Title 33, which has to do with the design review requirement, as well as some of the signage restrictions that come with changing image height and total area. So Doug, if you just want to click, this is the location you've seen by that amazing flyby, which I saw for the first time as well. It was very nice. One of the particular features, as I joked with Director Scarlett, was this will have starting blocks within built into the base of the sign. There is obviously the promotional opportunity and photo op at these locations, not just for the youth, as it were. So next slide.
So the child that's in, the person that's actually on the sign, that's not a part of the sign. It's
correct.
It's a person posing with the sign.
That will be you.
You are here, yes. And then some aerial views and then we could go probably to these you have in your package as examples of some of the graphics, and then the final.
Yeah, this one actually shows hot off the press the updated graphics, Sprinter that was shown in the original submission has now been replaced by the woman that's featured in the event logo. So this literally is where we're headed with the final design. We're not 100% there, but I think the team is really thrilled with how this sign has evolved, and the integration of both the event logo and the clock is nearly complete now, and we're very excited about the image that's been presented.
That image of the woman is a fixed image.
That's correct.
Correct.
So, Commissioner, the image of the woman is the image that faces the 6th Avenue side, and the moving image, which is the countdown clock, is on the Pioneer Square Plaza side.
And then the only moving images on that will be the clock?
That's correct.
Okay. No advertising?
No.
Okay.
What you see is what you're going to get.
Okay.
I'm particularly pleased with the image of the woman who, like Sasha, runs like a girl.
Absolutely. We are, too. We're really thrilled.
Very powerful girl. Lovely.
In closing, we would like to make sure that you put on your calendars May 27th when we will be unveiling the clock. There's an event that will start about 4:15 p.m. in the square, and we'll be getting invitations to each of you to come down and enjoy our 300-day out event, which will feature a number of activities, but most particularly the unveiling of this incredible clock.
And colleagues, if you look at that, those images and picture the children and adults who are going to be in the starting blocks every time somebody's taking a picture of them, Portland, Oregon. So it's really branding our city, and it's going to be a very fun addition to Pioneer Courthouse Square. For those fiscally responsible folks, they will be paying rent to Pioneer Courthouse Square, as do other users of the square, such as the food carts. And so all of these events are cost-effective for the Portland Park. And I very much appreciate that, too.
Coach, I just had a question so the record would be complete. We don't often get track stars who come to this body. And my guess is that Ms. Spencer Atwood is very modest. Could you tell us again what her particular specialty was in track?
Well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do one better and have Sasha come up and tell you her PRs. There you go. I'll verify if they're accurate.
I believe I'm still the Oregon State record holder in the women's 400 meters. I went on to run primarily the 800. I ran the 4 and the 8 in college, and I ran the 800 primarily professionally for Nike for 8 seasons. The man next to me is very used to hearing the words yes, and I maintain the distinction of being one of the people who told him no. I was 17 when I first met Vin, and he recruited me to go to Stanford University, and I chose to go back east to run for his best friend at Georgetown, and there I was a 12-time NCAA All-American, have been on this Indoor World Championships team and represented Team USA on a few other teams as well. The Olympic team I have not made, but I look forward to being able to support all of our athletes as they headed to the 2012 Olympic Games and on to Rio as well.
Wow. And what is an elite time in women's 800?
A really elite time is sub 2 minutes, really, in order to really be able to compete on the world stage. I mean, you have athletes who are running consistently in sub 158. Every season we get some 156s in there as well. So the United States has some big up-and-coming stars we're excited about.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Please strike the part out about choosing Georgetown over Stanford.
Thank you all very much. Any other questions? Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Great presentation.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to speak on this item?
Move to a vote.
Anyone signed up? Okay, so we're ready to vote.
Mr. Lightning has requested to speak.
Lightning, come on. You got your shot. You have to run to get to the microphone on this item.
I absolutely approve of the clock being located at the Pioneer Courthouse Square. One of the things, I almost think this is going to be like an iconic clock, and I was wondering if that maybe the clock could end up staying there permanently and having just the time displayed, the regular time of day. So wanted that to be maybe be looked into. I dealt with a gentleman many, many years ago who's deceased, Seymour Durst out of New York. Had a discussion with him. He had a national debt clock, which was by the Bryant Park that we were talking about, going from private to public type management. And I was always kind of upset that they didn't leave the clock in that location. I know one of his sons, Douglas, built a building on the edge of the park there. So sometimes some of these clocks are meant to remain in the location they're put at originally. So I wanted some thought to be put into that. And on the International Association of Athletics Federation, I definitely can't say anything negative about this. I have a relative who's been with Nike 25-plus years, one of the original employees there. So I definitely can't say anything bad about this for obvious reasons, so I definitely support this. Just real fast on the management of the park, Pioneer Courthouse Park Square there, it's my understanding that's managed by a nonprofit, so that's public and private. And I was wondering what their thoughts were on this at this time. I haven't heard anything from them. I understand you probably have a management agreement with them. Again, in the past, just real fast, we stated that Bryant Park was a private park, and I want to have a clear understanding on that, is that that's managed by a group that is still publicly owned. And we need to keep that clear, because a lot of times the public thinks that when you say it's a private park, somehow they have taken control of it in some type of ownership. That is incorrect. That's a corporation that has a management agreement on Bryant Park. So we need to keep that clear to the public, because when you say it's privately managed and controlled, they may think it's some type of private ownership. So I want to make that very clear on that. And just, again, I absolutely agree with this clock, and I hope it can remain for many, many years. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the Pioneer Courthouse Square Board has been consulted on this, and I think they're squared away on it, right?
Right.
Okay. So, time to move to a vote on the emergency ordinance, then, please.
Fish?
Well, first, Mayor and Gail, who did the heavy lifting at the short end and had to take the trip out to present. Congratulations. What a feather in our cap. Commissioner Fritz, thank you for bringing this forward and for shepherding this this ordinance. When Drew and Doug come before us, you know there's always something good's going to happen. So thank you both for just being tireless cheerleaders for Portland and for sports. It was a thrill to meet Vin Lanana when he came to my office. Obviously, I know him by reputation, but we don't often have big-time track people in our building, so that was a thrill. It's even a bigger thrill today to meet Sasha Spencer Atwood. And thank you very much for joining us. The other day I was having breakfast downtown, and a couple sat next to us at the Daily Cafe. And I had read the paper the day before and seen their picture. They were profiled. So I kind of elbowed the person I was with, trying to low-key it, and said, you know, that's the world's greatest athlete next to us, and she may be the second greatest, or they may together be the greatest athlete. And it was Ashton Eaton and his wife just nonchalantly eating in Portland. And it was a real thrill, and I don't even understand track. I mean, I think if we did a celebrity 5K, there was no one up here who could actually do it, but we could test that assumption. It was very exciting, and it was humbling to have the greatest athlete in the world just there with his family fitting in. So we're honored to have this, and we really appreciate the mayor and his leadership. And just one last word about sport. My daughter is the person she is today because of sport, and it's where she learned all the great lessons. Her sport was soccer. But she did not get a scholarship to college because of her sport. She got it because of all the ways it changed her life and made her a better person, and that's how she got a scholarship to college. So sport just changes lives in so many ways, and I guess you're a shining example of that. So honored to join up what I guess will be a unanimous council in support of this worthy effort. Thank you. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, this is a very exciting event. It's great for Portland, great for Oregon, as will be the World Championships in 21. That's an outstanding coup, Ben, so thanks again for your work on that. And this will be, I really look forward to this. Aye.
Novick.
I'm old enough to remember Steve Prefontaine. I lived in the Eugene area when he was active, and it's nice to be reminded that Oregon is still a track and field capital. And Sasha, I really appreciate your coming here because it makes the whole event much more real. Mm. And of course, it's always cool for us to have celebrities here. It was great when the Decemberists were here too. <That's>, and also I have to say that I won't complain about your spending time in Georgetown because I too spent a bunch of time in D.C. So it makes me, your being here makes me feel like I'm part of a broader D.C. Oregon fraternity and sorority. This is going to be a great event, and congratulations again to Gail and to the mayor. Thanks, Commissioner Fritz. Aye.
Fritz.
So this has been a very fun event. My father ran faster than Roger Bannister at one point. Of course, that was cross country, and Roger Bannister was good at running the mile, but that was one of his claims to fame, and I have track and field to thank for my dad coming to visit me every spring for the Shamrock Run and every fall for the Portland Marathon for many years, and he came for 2008 for the event in Eugene. So many fond memories, even though I don't even run for the bus. And I'm going to be doing a 5K in a couple of weeks, but that will be the walk for the NAMI organization here in Portland. I'm very, very pleased with this project. Thanks to Tim Heron and Paul Scarlett in the Bureau of Development Services and to Doug Oblitz and the design team. Every time when it was put towards me, in front of me, and I said, well, what about this? And instead of, no, we can't do that, it was, oh, yes, we can do that. And then you continue to refine it and have really brought it to perfection at this point. So I very, very much appreciate it. It's going to be a lovely statue, a lovely sign, an interactive, not just to look at it, but play with it and play on it and really enjoy our great city and wonderful Pioneer Courthouse Square. So thank you to Doug Oblitz, Vin Lanera, Drew Mihalik, Alberto Salazar, who was also involved in making the event a reality, and Gail Shibley, who has been so involved in getting this sign moving forward, too. So we very much appreciate your partnership with you in the mayor's office. It's going to be really fun. Aye.
Hales.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fritz, and to the Bureau for helping get this really important precedential event set up, because this is really where the community, I think, is going to start to learn about this event and what a great thing it's going to be for Portland, or these two events, really, now, and what they will mean for Portland and for the state. I want to thank this whole team. We've all caught the enthusiasm of what you're about. I think that's going to build as that clock counts down. I think also, Commissioner Fish, this event or these events are going to build on the success that you helped engineer with the Major League Soccer event here, the championship here, because it showed the world that Portland really can put on a first-class international sporting event. And that was both a great success as a sporting event, but it was also a great success as a community event for a lot of people to literally enjoy our city at street level, just like they will in this case. So I think that started some momentum that this is going to accelerate. It's going to be great. I think you hear on this council a lot of commitment and excitement to make sure that it's all that it could be. So thank you for a great start. Look forward to the 27th. Aye. Good job. Okay.